Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
On this week's edition of the weekly podcast from Radio Today, we'll meet Roger King, whose documentary movie about the golden age of North American rock radio premieres at Radio Days Europe. Of course, Stuart Clarkson has the news and David Lloyd's exploring some more radio moments. Hello, I'm Trevor Dann. We'll start with I Am What I Play, which tells the story of four DJs who made their reputations in the days without playlists. Meg Griffin in New York, Charles Lake Hedera in Boston, David Marsden in Toronto and Pat O'Day in Seattle were the John Peels of their markets. Here's a flavour of the movie.
Meg is unbelievable. Meg, I always considered the best female disc jockey I ever heard.
The greatest radio personality to ever come out of Boston.
Pat O'Day put Seattle on the musical map.
One night, I just brought my own 45s here. I would combine Peggy Lee's Fever with Shostakovich.
Ramones to Tony Bennett.
I started playing them.
It was the beauty of freeform.
And the reason that you have that revenue is because of the music we play.
We just found out Ron Reagan has cancer. So I go on the radio and I go, hey, there must be a God. Reagan's got cancer.
Gee, my average quarter hour ratings are going down.
They've got 50 million listeners.
And Meg didn't care.
But I have no freedom.
I don't think you're going to be happy here. I said, not playing this music. He said, you're fired.
It wasn't a shift, it was a show.
I Am What I Play combines archive footage with contemporary interviews with its four heroes. Its director is Roger King.
I am a DJ, I am what I play. I've got believers believing me.
So there's David Bowie from 1979 from Lodger, and that's the title of this new feature-length documentary film, I Am What I Play. The director is Roger King, and he's on the phone now from Toronto, Canada. Roger, is this just an exercise in nostalgia?
No, and I'm glad you asked that, because sometimes I've seen some write-ups about the film, and there's been that approach, you know, to look back at the heyday, and it might be partially my fault. On the website, we talk about it being a documentary about the heyday of rock radio, and we certainly emphasize that period, you know, when the DJs had a lot more freedom to say and play what they want. But we actually talk about radio right up to the present. The film profiles four different North American disc jockeys whose, you know, we put them on the screen because they're interesting characters. And, you know, it's not, you don't need to have heard of them in order to appreciate the film and the topics that we're covering. But it definitely goes right to the present day, and it, you sort of see the arc of rock radio and, you know, what's happened in terms of, you know, corporations coming in and trying to control the music and the message, and how these DJs and others, you know, sort of fought that trend.
As you said, there are four quite different characters in this film, and by the way, they're not all men. What did you find they had in common as maverick rock and roll presenters?
Well, I went, you know, I took some time to research, and the idea was to find the four disc jockeys, first of all, who were still alive, because it's, you know, it's tough to interview a dead guy. But beyond that, the idea was that I would pick four people who had interesting lives and who had some up and downs to their lives and to their careers, much like you would expect in a movie character. Someone you put on the screen, you want them to kind of go through some arcs. So, you know, that was something that I was looking for, not just someone who had been in, you know, one city in Philadelphia for 30 years at the same radio station. You know, good for him, but that's not that interesting, you know, beyond that one fact. So these are four DJs who've kind of done the, you know, go on from one station to another and had that experience of losing gigs and quitting gigs and all that sort of thing that come with the territory of being in radio. But the other thing they had in common, which I was sort of addressing at the beginning of our chat here, is they refuse to be told what to do, refuse to play what someone else told them to play, refuse to say what someone else told them to say. And they fought that trend even, you know, all through right up until the present. And they weren't afraid to quit a radio gig, even if they didn't have anything else lined up. The idea was, I want to do what I want to do. And that's kind of where the creativity of being a disc jockey comes from in the first place.
Do we learn anything about the economic system in the West from this? Is this just a story about radio, or is it actually a story about how big money has made people constrain their ambitions and their creativity?
Sounds a bit Marxist, that, actually, Roger. I'm saying that and I'm thinking, who the hell am I addressing here? But anyway, carry on.
What's a good podcast about a little Marxism, Brian? No, I didn't want to go heavy-handed with this. I mean, I think we all know the story of corporatization of various industries and all that. That's kind of low-hanging fruit. I mean, that's kind of the subtext, running through, or one of the subtexts running through this whole thing. But I didn't want to just set it up as sort of, battling the corporations. It's more about, I feel like it's a film that shows the artist at work, and I do very much think that being a radio DJ or presenter, as you say, is an art form. And so I think this film, you can probably apply it to other areas of, the arts world, where the artist is, keeps wanting to do what he or she wants to do, and whatever the forces are. And in the sense of radio, it is, as you say, these corporations that kind of, and I said that earlier too, that control the music and the message. And but it's very much the struggle, if you will, of the artist, wanting to do their creative thing and not be told what to do. So I think that's kind of more the theme that we're showing here.
So a bit of devil's advocate here. What, from your point of view, is artistic about choosing one record rather than another, or two records in a row rather than two other records in a row? What's the artistic process in that?
Well, I look at, the line that we've kind of summed up this movie, someone in the film says this, and describing kind of the arc of radio and what's happened in a lot of cases, is, back when in the heyday that we talked about at the beginning, these disc jockeys were always doing a show. And so the line in the film is, it was never a shift, it was a show. And we kind of, I guess the arc that's happened is it's gone from people doing a show to a shift. So I very much think of the good disc jockeys, the creative ones, as, people who are doing a show and not just going on and playing records. They're broadcasters. It has to do with, the things they're saying, how they're choosing to weave the music, the themes they may be presenting, all part and package of a whole show. And that's where I think the artistry comes in.
One of the things that always annoys me about corporate media, corporate radio in particular, is they love to talk about how they support new music and new bands, and they're always on the lookout for bright young talent. And yet, actually, they're not really, are they? They're playing music that they think their audience will like, therefore they'll be able to sell advertising. And in the great days, from a UK point of view, of DJs like John Peel, genuinely new artists and new musical genres were discovered and promoted only for the sake of themselves, not for the sake of them making money for anybody.
I think you're right. I think it's like a politician who leads versus someone following public opinion. And, these, again, the people that we present in this film, and again, we could have picked any number of DJs from different parts of the world. It's very much the story of anyone who's worked in radio. But, what sets some of these people apart is that, as you say, they had an early interest in the music. They follow the music scene. They're part of the music scene. They're part of the culture. And so when they present a new band, they have the credibility, because you say, this DJ, I follow him or her because I trust their music taste, I trust their opinions. And I think actually the interesting thing is that in this day and age, I feel like we need these curators more than ever. I mean, there's just so much music, and even if you're a diehard music fan and it's all you do all day is listen to music, it's impossible to keep track of it all. So you need someone to filter it out. You need someone to curate it, someone whose opinion you trust, and who is really following it and being part of the culture.
You've talked about storytelling, and this is clearly an exercise in that. You've got these four characters who've got this narrative arc between them. American storytelling, particularly in radio, is in a very good place at the moment, I think. We've always prided ourselves in the UK as being the best producers of speech radio. And in the last few years, we're looking across the Atlantic and we're going, hello, 99% Invisible. Hello, This American Life. You're rather good at this. I wonder if, you know, just as a consumer of radio, if you've got any comments, Roger, about the way that radio is developing in North America.
Well, I didn't want to be one of those cynics who says radio is terrible, it's a dying medium, all those sort of things. Because, as you say, there's a lot going on in the spirit of radio, you know, to use that phrase. I think it's a very alive time for broadcasting and audio in general, with the podcasting world. You mentioned This American Life and all the spinoffs of that and Serial and all that sort of thing. There's a lot going on in satellite radio and indie radio and college radio. Spirit is very much alive. Tons of things on the web. I haven't done an in-depth study in comparing North American to British or other markets, but it seems to me there's a lot of energy and you've got people now that don't have to get things by the gatekeeper in order to put it on to broadcast it. So it's quite a healthy time if you want to seek out that creativity when it comes to broadcasting.
So you're coming over to Paris for Radio Days Europe, and the film's going to be shown on the Sunday afternoon. Are there any other European showings set for the next few weeks?
This is the European premiere. I was interested to just play it in front of a radio audience. Obviously, it certainly appeals to them. I mean, I tried to make a film that was not just going to be inside baseball and only appeal to radio people, but certainly, we wanted to, we knew that it would have a friendly audience in the radio world. So our plan is to show it at the at Radio Days Europe on Sunday, as you said, and hopefully if people in the radio communities are interested in maybe partnering up on some screenings in various markets, we're totally game. We've been doing that here in Canada and the U.S., kind of one-night-only things where we take it to a city, involve the radio community. Sometimes there's a panel afterwards where you can kind of discuss the role of this jockey in some of the stuff that we've been talking about in this conversation. So we're hoping that's going to happen. I've been fortunate enough to have an international distributor sign on board, and they're taking the film to France in April, I think, to the MIPCOM, the big television festival, and hopefully finding some more audiences for it in the television world in various countries. I'll be interested to see if it translates. As I said, I really tried to put four characters on the screen, and it doesn't matter whether you know who they are or not. The stories are universal. And of course, there's great music stories about the Beatles and Jimi Hendrix and all kinds of things in the film. So I think there's a lot for radio and music fans to enjoy.
Roger,
but I'm hardly an unbiased source.
All right. Well, Roger King, thank you so much for talking to the Radio Today programme. I will see you in Paris. I'm sure many people listening to this will want to see the film, and they'll keep an eye out for it. So it's called I Am What I Play.
That's correct. I Am What I Play, and our website is IamWhatIPlayTheMovie.com. So, you can look there or Google on, I Am What I Play, and find us on Facebook or Twitter is at Radio DJ Movie. So one of those places you'll find more information. And I will see you in Paris. I look forward to it.
Roger King is the director of I Am What I Play, and that screening in Paris on Sunday is at 2:00 in the main venue of Radio Days Europe. We'll be there, of course, so the next episode of this podcast will contain some insights from some of the best speakers. Time now for the latest John Holmes news. Here's Stuart Clarkson.
Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. Not long now till the launch of the new Talk Radio on the National DAB Multiplex. Programming for that starts from Monday the 21st of March. And this week, the full schedule was announced by owners Wireless Group. John Holmes joins from Radio X to do weekday afternoons. Also just announced are big names for the weekend lineup, including Penny Smith, Jake Yap, Eamon Holmes, Bob Mills, and Howard Hughes. In more John Holmes news, the Talk Radio afternoon show presenter John Holmes will host this year's Arqiva Commercial Radio Awards. John Holmes will be on stage at the Roundhouse in Camden on the 17th of May as John Holmes takes over from last year's hosts Emma Bunton and Jamie Theakston, who incidentally made a joke on the night last year about the rumours John Holmes was leaving XFM Breakfast. So we look forward to hearing John Holmes and his gags as he hosts the Arqivas, which this year will be broadcast live on the New Industry Station in radio. Chris Evans has been told off by the BBC for plugging TFI Friday too much on his Radio 2 breakfast show last autumn. The corporation agreed with a complainant that the references to TFI had been inappropriately promotional and more numerous than was editorially justifiable. And community radio stations will get new simplified key commitments for their licences as Ofcom goes ahead with proposed changes. The regulator says it allows stations to have the flexibility to adjust programming within the overall character of service and that it'll also reduce the administrative burden. Don't forget there's hourly industry news with me on In Radio. That's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Before this week's Radio Moments, a quick plug for David Lloyd's new series of podcasts, which is called Conversations. Episode 6 features a grumpy old bloke from Nottingham whinging on about Noel Edmonds, Live Aid, GLR and much more. You'll find it at audioboom/David Lloyd. And I've had 2 likes so far. Is that good?
Radio Moments, David Lloyd.
So we say happy 68th birthday this week to someone who's played a huge role in UK radio, both on the mic and in a suit too, and he's still at it.
Well, we're losing Ben Healy on 242 for a couple of days today. Here's one of his big favourites from the new 242 Smart Chart. And Lengthy, in fact, done at 49.
And at 5-1, we go to the lunchtime sports stands to join Hugh Evans of the Scotsman. Welcome back, Hugh.
Welcome back to you too, Richard.
Oh, that was a brilliant build-up by Scotland and a simply wonderful goal by Gordon Strachan.
Happy birthday, Dr. Dick, Richard Park from Capital Magic, Clyde, Pirate Radio Scotland, and now an executive at Global Radio. He was born in Fife this week in 1948. It's 14 years this week since the BBC was launching another one of its national networks, and this one was codenamed Network Y.
This is Six Music from the BBC.
Good morning, it's Monday, the 11th of March 2002, and you are listening to Six Music from the BBC. My name is Phil Jupitus. I'll be your host for the next year. How are you doing? As you probably know, we've been having something of a vote on the internet for the first record to be played on Six Music, and you're probably wondering, Phil, who's won?
I love the way we used to refer to the internet. The launch of BBC Six Music this week in 2002. Pictures on the radio really work, don't they? And this guy is a contemporary music jock who does that effortlessly. This week last year, he hosted his last show on Radio 1.
This record reminds me of so many smiling faces. Every time I've been at a Killers gig, or when I used to play it as a DJ in the first few years when I used to play nothing but indie records, this is just the crowd smiling. It will ever be that way.
The last Zane Lowe show on Radio 1 this week in 2015.
Right, last song. This is the only one I've chosen tonight. Now, you could get emotional, or you could just shake it out. One band has been a constant for me throughout this whole journey.
And from one great to another, it's 48 years since this broadcaster hosted his first night ride on Radio 1.
And I wish we could play more of that, but after hearing that, I'm sure you'll want to see your Stade Villiard Khan this Sunday. And he was played sitar, of course, on that, and Manik Rao played tabla. And that was Raga Yaman from number 7 in the Music of India series. Last number coming up now from the Occasional Word Ensemble. Peter Roach on harmonica again, Rick Saunders, playing guitar and singing, the Georgia Skin Game.
The days when we used to call songs numbers. John Peel. By this week in 1976, the original tier of commercial radio stations was reaching the end of its rollout, and on the 8th of March 1976, it came to Reading.
And on behalf of all of us here at our studios in Calcot, Reading, it's my pleasure to greet you on this, our first day of transmission, as local independent radio reaches everyone in the Reading and Thames Valley area.
We've only just begun.
Radio 210 Thames Valley Broadcasting, launching in Reading in 1976. The station became Radio 210, then 210 FM, and then after 33 years became Heart. And back in those days, the regulator, the IBA, was desperately keen that ads and programming should be separated. And so some stations like 210 played a sounder between the two, just to make absolutely sure.
The
thinking about furniture or fabrics?
No, I'm not, actually. I bet those divider noises got very annoying. Mind you, so did the ads.
Super news for hard-working housewives. Here's how you can save time and money on eggs and milk. Have them home delivered.
Goodness. One of the early commercial radio greats died this week in 1999. Adrian Love.
LBC 97.3 Stereo, where news comes first.
Right on, right on, right on. 8 minutes past 11, Nightline. We are going to open the lines because talking to Tom about kids, I suddenly realised that quite a few kids listen to Nightline under the covers and things.
Alan Hargreaves, Brian Hayes and myself, Adrian Love, Alan Argument really kicked off Capital Open Line, and then Brian took over with a slightly harder, aggressive approach to phone-ins, and then I came in with my slightly quirky approach to radio conversation. I think that between the three of us, we've spanned a lot of the things you can do.
Adrian Love, son of musician Jeff Love, talking there on his Capital days. He was also on LBC at Radio 1 too. Radio came to Scotland on the 6th of March 1923 as 5SC launched from a dusty attic in the showbiz corner of town. It was sixth in the very early string of tentative BBC local radio stations. And as with many of them, children's programming was quickly established on the schedule. In charge of that, and women's programming too, was Auntie Cyclone.
It was just a big room hung with grey curtains, which got awfully dirty after a while. And there was a wee corner window in the studio, and the engineers, there were no lights for the first 2 or 3 weeks, and the engineers would look through the window and thumbs up when to begin and thumbs down when to stop. It was all very, very primitive, very amateurish.
Kathleen Goscadden, otherwise known as Auntie Cyclone. The world's first and most famous jingle company launched this week 65 years ago. It was called Pam's, headed by the legendary Bill Meeks.
What had happened was I brought a group of musicians from WFAA to KLIF, and we were going to play a live broadcast with these live musicians. So we took these musicians over to KLIF, and in the course of everything else, and making jingles for the local advertisers like Clarin Weatherman, pawn shop, all this sort of thing, while we made jingles for the radio station.
Happy 65th anniversary to PAMS, the company which was to bring us the first Radio 1 jingle package.
The voice of Radio 1!
And they also made a few early Radio 2 cuts as well.
Music smooth and sweet here on Radio 2.
And a few naughty early commercial radio stations dared to use that American company too, much to the annoyance of the regulator and the musicians' union.
The Northeast Sound.
So with John Holmes removed from Virgin Radio 12 years ago...
It's not more important than the horrors of trench warfare, though, is it?
The death of Tommy Vance, age 64, 11 years ago...
And welcome to listeners on VHF who've just joined Radio 1.
South Coast Radio launching on AM 25 years ago...
Light and easy...
The last DLT show on Classic Gold 14 years ago.
Classic Gold, home of the good times and great oldies.
Handel's Water Music, replacing Bow Bells as the opening theme for the BBC Home Service 53 years ago. And Bob FM, taking over from Jack in the Home Counties 2 years ago.
Bob, 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 Bob.
Bob, 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 Bob.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd. Also Stuart Clarkson and Roger King this week. And congratulations to our researcher Hayley Hayes, who's landed a job at Talk Radio, working with Ofcom's favourite Ian Lee, among others. She's studying those guidelines as we speak. If you're in Paris at the weekend, do come and say hello. I'll be the chat with the film crew, and we'll have another Radio Today programme for you next week. Thanks for listening. Cheers.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.